Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you, as always, by the Keystone Sports Network and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app as well, your online home for all things Penn State football. Dustin Hawkinsmith, Greg Pickle here. We are recapping some news from the weekend on the Penn State football front. We're also going to preview the season a little bit. Tyler Donahue from Lions 247 is going to join us in our third segment coming up, and then Ask Greg in our fourth segment. Greg, you ready to get this thing rolling?
Let's do it, buddy.
So there wasn't a lot of news, and we'll touch on that in just a second. I also wanted to remind people, special announcement, we've been making it for a few weeks here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Our guy Mark at GoPSURV.com going all out for the first game of the season against Appalachian State, which is coming very, very soon, and I'm excited for it. He's going to be renting RVs at half price for the first game of the year. It's a special deal for our Keystone Kickoff Show listeners. So if you've been thinking about getting an RV for a game up there, this is the perfect opportunity you've been looking for. The GoPSURV.com lot is just minutes from the stadium. There's a free shuttle back and forth. There's a lot of other amenities as well, especially that first weekend. There's an open house Friday night, 6 to 8 p.m., and from 9 a.m. to noon on Saturday, where you can get some 409 Tailgate Club barbecue. You can get some tailgate wine. You can get some Labatt Blue beer. So it's all happening there. Go PSURV.com for more details. And Greg, so to start the show, I kind of prepared some notes in the early part of Sunday, I think it was.
Yes.
And then Sunday afternoon comes, and there's just CBS Sports just lays waste to all my plans, and they come out with that underrated, overrated, where they polled anonymously coaches asking for other coaches who were underrated and overrated. James Franklin lands on the overrated list, and I think the whole concept of polling coaches and asking these questions is funny in the first place. And then I think the overrated is a really good outlet if you've got an axe to grind with somebody.
Right.
If you there's some probably a lot of pettiness there. And inside the coaching fraternity, the coaching circle, we probably don't know that or understand how that works. But surely over the last 5-6 years, Franklin's made some enemies.
Well, yeah, I think that much is clear. And I think that it's interesting, too, that, you know, you look at his body of work and you look at the two comments that are made in relation to this poll. And the first one says, an anonymous coach, again, we don't know who it's from, that he's full of it and his coaching peers know it. Okay, well, that plays off of the whole theme that, you know, he's just a salesman. All he does is recruit, yada, yada, yada. I think at this point, you can understand that viewpoint's one that's been held for a while. So I wasn't all that taken aback by that quote. And then the other one pretty much dismisses itself when it mentions Saquon Barkley as being underrated. I mean, I think that once you got to that point of the quote, Dustin, there was no point in continuing reading it because it clearly came from somebody that did not follow the Penn State football program, right, and certainly didn't follow Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley was underrated. It would have to be redefined in a dictionary because he was anything but. And I think that while the guy's point was more than likely to be that, you know, let's see what he does, let's see what Penn State does and James Franklin does without Joe Moorhead and Saquon Barkley, I think at this point, you know, 5 years into his tenure, considering what he turned around Vanderbilt into, take a look at Vanderbilt going into this season, what the projections are for them this year, you know, 5 years after James Franklin left there. They're back to where they were pretty much before he got there. I mean, so I understand these polls and why they're done and all that kind of stuff, but the fact that Franklin would be on the list, let alone topping it, is just baffling to me.
I think Franklin made certain first impressions some places, and I think he ruffled up the SEC a little bit more than anything. He came in there and turned a Vanderbilt team. You can tell me all day long, you know, they finished top 25 twice his last 2 years there. You can tell me all day long they didn't have a win over a ranked team and blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't make 9-4 in 2012 and 2013 any less impressive to me. They beat the teams they were supposed to beat, and they really weren't supposed to beat a whole lot of teams. And then he comes to Penn State and there's some struggles there, and there's implementation of things that he wanted. We all know the issues that he faced at Penn State with the sanctions then too. But to win the Big Ten in 2016, go 11-3, and he's recruited. He's they've developed talent, and you can put whatever amount of credit on whatever position coach and the strength coach and all, but he's the one who's orchestrated those people. You know what I mean? So you can tell me that on game day, he's not the best X's and O's guys. And I think that's probably fair. I think he would probably not call himself nationally elite in that regard, but there's so many bigger picture things that have to do with running your program and to run it like a business like he has and to run it really, really well. I see a lot of criticism coming back from, well, you know, Joe Moorhead and Saquon Barkley. He's nothing without those guys. Well, let's just wait and see on that.
Yeah.
I have a feeling we're going to get 10 years down the road, and the first impression that Franklin left on some people, the snake oil salesman thing, is never going to leave, and people are always going to, one year after another, come up with a reason why the success he had the previous year was out of his hands. You know what I mean? Well, Trace McSorley this year. Let's see what he can do without Trace. I think it's more funny than anything, but I don't think Penn State fans thought it was very funny at all.
Yeah, I have a hot take on this. I think that this will do more good for Penn State than harm in the long run. And my thinking behind this is that when was the last time you saw Penn State and James Franklin defend it and their record and their accomplishments feathered out over the national media as they were on Sunday? I mean, it didn't take hours. It did not take days. It took minutes for The Athletic, Bruce Feldman, to have a column out. And USA Today's Dan Wolkin weighed in. And a couple other people did. ESPN, the AP, their national college football writers weighed in. So, you know, you can – obviously, we think we're both on the same page that calling him overrated is absurd, but – look, I can see it from the other side and say this actually might do them some good, because who drives the narrative all season long at the national level? The national media. And you have a bunch of them defending James Franklin and sharing all of Penn State's exploits the last few years in refuting these anonymous comments. And when you have those guys on your side, you can say what you will about the media, but when they're on your side, it usually plays into your favor, especially when you get into the college football playoff talk and for Trace McSorley, potentially the Heisman talk. So I honestly think it might do them more good than bad in the long run.
And I think most,
as silly as that sounds,
I think that's a great point. I think there's definitely a silver lining. Whatever they say, all publicity is good publicity at this point. But I think Bruce Feldman took it, not personally, but he was really – he spent time with Penn State's program. He spent time with James Franklin, so I think he understands what's going on here. And I think he understands the job that Franklin did. But I think it just needs to be laughed off. And like you said, maybe it's a positive in the long run. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking Penn State football, your news from the weekend. And James Franklin being overrated is not the only news from the weekend. Let me start – Tommy Stevens in a walking boot for photo day. Well, tell me about that.
Well, I mean, look, Penn State does everything very carefully, and there's a lot of thought put into everything. So, especially on the injury front, I mean, we're all well aware of how updates aren't shared about injuries unless they're of the season-ending or career-ending variety, and the fact that, you know, when Tommy Stevens was asked about this boot issue back in the spring, it's the same foot, by the way, he more or less said, yeah, I'm not going to talk about that. So, I mean, we'll never obviously know what exactly is going on, but look, if Penn State felt comfortable enough to bring him to photo day, let him walk across the field. Folks that were there said he wasn't using the crutches he had with him. I don't think this is a big deal. He said don't panic on social media. Of course he would say that, but I don't see this being something that keeps him out of the Appalachian State game. I don't think this is something that is going to hamper him long term. I mean, yes, is there a little bit of worry that the same thing that clearly slowed him down in the spring is slowing him down now 10 days from the season? Yeah, certainly there's some concern about that. However, to me, if he was using the crutches and couldn't put any weight on that foot, that would be a big red flag. Right now, though, I think it might be more precautionary than anything else.
By the way, I didn't get a chance to say this earlier. Labatt Blue giving away a pair of tickets to every home game this season, speaking of Appalachian State. For your chance to win tickets to the Kent State game, you can visit one of these three great outlets: Oakhurst Beverage in Harrisburg, Pletcher's Beer Distributor in State College, or Home Service Beverage in Williamsport. We will pull the winner on air here. We will continue to do so for every home game this year. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. I love saying that phrase every single time.
Me too.
So, Tommy Stevens, we haven't really talked about him whenever we're previewing positions and talk about impact players. And I think part of it is we have no idea what his role is.
Right.
And so I see this thing on Saturday, and I guess the cynic in me is always like, they're messing with us, right?
Yeah, right.
Everybody's here. All the media's here. The means to take pictures. Why show up in a walking boot? But I guess he's got to be there for the team photo because it's an actual team photo. It's not just a media event. We're invited, but they're actually taking the team picture. But so I don't think they're messing with us, but sometimes I just really don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was interesting that, you know, again, that he and Shane Simmons, missed the Blue White game, of course, and he was in a walking boot then. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to read too much into it because, like I said, I just have a hard time believing it's anything major. But, you know, he obviously has something going on with the foot that hopefully is not long-term or something that he can't play through. But, like I said, it's a little bit concerning, yes. Does it feel like something that's going to really hamper his 2018 season? I don't think so.
And I think we're going down this road here talking about injuries with these retirements, and there's a total of five now. Torrance Brown was the latest. You know, he missed most of the 2017 season. What was a knee injury, and we weren't sure what his status was going to be, but I think you've been beating the drum for a while. There's a good chance we don't see him. He made it official over the weekend. That's retirement number five. Ryan Buckles, Jordan Miner, Jake Zembeck, and Nana Asidu all for their reasons as well. So Torrance Brown, not a big surprise. And I have, you know, you ask, like, is this the worst run of luck you've ever seen? Or is there something more to, is there some kind of happening behind the scenes where they're dealing with scholarship numbers or whatever, that these guys are walking away early?
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, I think it's just sort of, I mean, James Franklin called it strange. As you can, strange, bad luck, whatever you want to refer to it as, an anomaly, rare, unprecedented, as it is in his 23-year coaching career. I mean, look, two guys with heart issues. I mean, what are the odds of that, really? I mean, two guys that come to campus and they have heart issues that are detected and it potentially saves their lives. I mean,
it makes me think that Penn State is really going above and beyond with its due diligence to save kids' lives.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know exactly what the screening process is, but it's certainly rigorous, and it's for the kids as much as it's for anything else. So, you know, I think that that's obviously very important. So, you know, those two things are sort of, if you have 100 recruiting classes, Dustin, I would say it's one in 100. It's probably one in 100,000 that you have two guys before they even play a game, you lose them because of heart condition. So, yeah. You know, chalk that up to that. With Buckholz, I mean, he's fought injuries kind of throughout his career, never anything overly major, at least it didn't seem like it. But something, you knew something was up when he slimmed down so much, and now we have our answer. And then Jake Zembeck was never healthy, was probably never going to play, even if he got healthy, which it didn't seem like he was going to. So, I mean, I think you chalk that up to that. And then missing one, Torrance Brown, he ripped his knee up really badly against Georgia State last year. I think that he fought really hard trying to get back, but at the end of the day, Dustin, I don't think it was going to happen for him in the next couple of years, so he makes the decision to step away.
Yeah, I don't think, outside of the two heart issues, I don't think there's a big surprise. And ask Ross Tucker what it's like to live his life with a back injury, and I think he would support Ryan Buckholz walking away a little bit early. All right, moving on here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, we're going to continue our series looking ahead to the 2018 season. Linebackers is a position we'll look at next. Hey Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.